Some things in science sound like contradictions. There are particles with no mass. Inflammable still means flammable.
Oh yeah, you don't want to make that mistake.
Well, how about this new one? Porous liquids. We usually think of porous things as solids. They act a bit like sponges, which have spaces in them for other substances to be absorbed. In porous solids, tiny holes exist between molecules that don't move. That's what makes solids solid. But liquids, their molecules are moving around, bumping into each other, not leaving any space for anything else to live there. Surely they can't be porous. Well, Stuart James disagrees, because he and his team at Queen's University Belfast in Northern Ireland have just made a porous liquid. It could find uses in industry where porous solids are already used to trap gases or do chemical reactions. But solids aren't as practical as liquids, which can run through pipes and make processes more efficient. When I spoke to Stuart, we started with a recap on what porous materials look like at the chemical level.
So you can think of it as being a very small sort of analogue of a house, I suppose, in a sense, where a house, you know, has a roof and it has walls and it has a floor, and that defines the room. And so you can think of that room as being a pore, if you like, in the house. Try to shrink that down in your imagination down to sort of molecule size. So shrink it down by a factor of a billion or so. And imagine just tiny, tiny holes like that constructed within the solid framework of the material. So the walls now are themselves, you know, atoms and molecules, and that leaves a tiny space, just the right shape and size, for another molecule to go in.
So I can imagine a house very easily, and of course houses are built of reasonably solid materials in most cases, unless you live in a tent. So now, how would you make something porous that is not solid, that is perhaps liquid?
Yeah, well, this is the key thing, and this is the sort of very counterintuitive thing about what we've done, is that it's easy to imagine how you make a hole, a space in a structure, when you have rigid components to build your structure with, and when they stay still. If you take an ordinary liquid, like a glass of water, that's a very different sort of a material. In there, the building blocks, the molecules, if you like, are all moving more or less randomly all the time, but essentially staying quite close to each other, so that there are very occasionally little gaps in between the molecules. They just open up randomly from time to time, but they don't last very long and they're not very well defined. They don't have proper sort of well-defined shapes, if you know what I mean.
But if you could make them well-defined, you could turn them into these little cages which could hold things, could be porous.
It's very challenging to try and think, how do you stop the molecules from continually just sort of moving around and where they want to go and bumping into each other? How do you persuade them to open up a little space and not to go into that space? And that, I think, is very, very difficult. So essentially what we did was we cheated. And we designed our liquid thinking about the shapes of the molecules. And we thought, okay, what we need to do is make a space inside the molecules. So we had to do quite a lot of tricky chemistry to build a sort of a cage structure. And so that cage individually defines a pore. It has a space inside it. Then what we had to do was to try and get that cage to be a liquid. And we did that by dissolving it in other molecules, but the molecules were too large to fit through the bars of the cage. So now what we have is a solution. We have a solvent and something dissolved in it. The cage is dissolved into the solvent and it's moving around randomly. It's continually bumping into the other molecules, but they can't get inside the cage. And so that is our porous liquid.
Nice. You've moved the space from the outside where you didn't have any space because they're all bumping into each other. You've just moved it simply inside the molecule.
Absolutely, that's it.
So you've got your cages sort of floating about in a liquid. Did you have to make this stuff out of very special materials to get it to work?
Nothing particularly special. I mean, the sort of building blocks that we use are very straightforward organic chemistry, I suppose. Carbon and hydrogen and nitrogen.
And why are these things potentially useful?
Actually, the idea for porous liquids came from a conversation with a chemical engineer here at Queen's. And he just stops me in the corridor one day. Because I'm a chemist, I'm not a chemical engineer, but he had an engineering problem. And he said, porous solids, very interesting, very useful, but the problem is you can't pump them through pipes. And because porous liquids are basically not known, or weren't known at that time, that was where the sort of exciting idea came from, to say, well, actually, could we design a liquid such that it would have these permanent pores inside it.
And then into this liquid you could dissolve, you could use it for things that people now use porous solids for, like, for example, capturing CO2.
Yes, ultimately, I mean, that would be the dream. You know, that's a, I mean, that without doubt is going to be a few years in the future, but it's nice to have a long-term goal to go towards.
What does your porous liquid hold at the moment?
We've looked at methane, which is the main component of natural gas, and what we found was that our porous liquid could dissolve about 8 times as much methane as a control material could.
Finally, Stuart, your friend who you bumped into in the corridor, who in frustration suggested that you try and make these things, is he aware of your work? How does he feel about it?
Oh, yes, no, he's very aware. We talk about it all the time. This is, I should say, he's Professor David Rooney. Once we've got a few kilos or a few tons of these things, we'll be talking to him again.
How much do you have at the moment? A Coke bottle full? A thimble?
Oh, even less than that, I'm afraid. I mean, I think you're talking about, you know, a few millilitres, perhaps 10 millilitres or something like that.
That was Stuart James of Queen's University in Belfast.